It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Hey guys, welcome to Money for Lunch. Hey, you know, exciting news, and I know it's April 1st, but I'm not kidding about this. I know that you guys have been sitting there wondering, man, Bert, when is your show going to be on iHeartRadio? Well, guess what? We have passed the preliminary steps to get on iHeartRadio. It looks positive, even though it's not 100% done yet. Looks like we'll be on iHeartRadio, reaching over like 6 or 7 more people than we reach today. I think they have something like 50 million listeners, or maybe it's 150 million listeners. You know, they're both on the radio and online. So that's exciting news, and again, it has nothing to do with April 1st. This is for real, and I know it's what you've been wanting, right? It's your deep desire to have a syndicated all over the planet, and your wish has come true. Anyway, a lot of fun stuff on the show today. We have Shawn Duperron. She's back on the show. She was here before, and we're going to be talking about her movement on forgiveness. I think it's just an extraordinary thing. Steve Evans, Director of Marketing for Kahala. And you're saying, what the heck is that? Well, you know, you probably know the name better by its brand. One of its big brands is Blimpie. Blimpie, the subway, the sub company, the sub sandwich, whatever, has turned 50, and they're doing some fun stuff, so we're going to be talking with those guys. Bianca Forbes on the show, she's a business strategist. We're going to be talking about what to do with your stuff, I mean with your brand online, and how to get more leads. Carolyn Hellman, she's on the show, and I want you guys to definitely check out Caroline Hellman. She's going to be talking about the sexy lie. She is all over the international and national news, she's just a really cool lady to talk to. Last but not least, Nell Merlino. Nell is also a return guest, and she's created Take Our Daughters to Work Day. So if you're taking your daughter to work day, it's Nell that allowed that to happen, so it's kind of a cool thing. She's going to be on the show. And just overall, fantastic show. So as always, I'm excited. I'm excited to have such a great lineup of guests. And as always, let's get the show on the road. Or is it the road on the show? Anyway, enough of that. My first guest, Shawn Duperron. Shawn is a 6-time Emmy Award-winning award winner. And she created this 5-minute video on forgiveness that went like bonkers viral, right? And so it's really touched the lives of thousands and tens of thousands of people across the globe. She never expected it would garner worldwide attention from the likes of CNN, CBC, ABC, Fox News. Just about every national major media has covered this 5-minute video. It's one of those sensations. You can see it now at supportprojectforgive.com. Shawn Duperron, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
I am so tickled to be here, and congrats on iHeart. That rocks, dude.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's exciting to be moving in that direction, and we'll see what happens. So thank you.
Yeah, and I just have to say, you know, when you said, you know, like that means we're going to have 6 or 7 more people, I literally laugh out loud when I listen to you, so I can say why people listen to you. You snarky guy, you're very funny.
Yeah, well, you know, typically you come on here and you say, hey, we're going to have millions of people, but, you know, who really cares about that? So anyway, but you know what, I'm excited to have you on the show because I think this is such an important topic. It's, you know, accepting the apology you never receive or you never get or that you think you're owed. And really, I think that a lot of us get hung up on forgiving somebody who either A, didn't apologize, or B, didn't know that they've hurt us, right?
Absolutely. So I got a quick story. How about I use my neighbor as an example? And we all have this person in our life. As soon as we see this person, we get immediately annoyed. You know, we have people like that. And I have a neighbor like that. As soon as I see him, I can feel the blood rush up my body. And I'll walk out to the mailbox, and he'll say something like, "Good morning, Sean." And I'll look at him with an annoyed look, and I'll be like, "Yeah, but Bob, it's 6 o'clock in the evening." And he'll say, "I know, but you look like you just got up." Okay, so it's that kind of exchange that happens, right? So
right.
I get so annoyed with this guy. And I had a problem with it because, very much like you, I'm pretty fun-loving, I'm very lighthearted, and I'm a pretty lovely kind of gal, okay? And this neighbor, whenever he sees me, he does not see me that way. He sees me as mean, nasty, angry neighbor. That's how his experience of me, right? there was an issue with that because I don't want to be felt like that or be seen like that. And what came up, you know, since we've been doing this project, I mean, we've heard from people across the globe. It's crazy fun. What about this notion of accepting the apology you'll never receive? And what that really entails is if this neighbor Bob, if he really had the skill set, he would say something like, he would say this, he would say, "Sean, I really, really want to connect with you. Will you forgive me? I have zero social skills. I really don't have the skills. And I don't know how else to connect. I'm ostracized by a lot of people. And I'm trying to make these jokes that don't ring true, and I just simply don't have those skills. Would you forgive me?" Now, if he said that to me, my heart would just be mush, right? I would just be like,
sure.
"Oh,
sure.
Of course, right?" And he's not going to say that. You with me? And when
yes.
I can go into that mindset with him and do it for him in my own brain, I actually shift when I'm with him, and I can be so loving and so kind and be my awesome, fun self, even when he's doing weird stuff. And it's a mastery. It's a skill. And the more I do this, because I speak about this in a lot of countries, in a lot of places, this is really resonating for people because the bottom line is people are really trying to do the best they can in any given moment, and we only have the skills that we got. And who are we going to be regardless of what someone's skills are? And I say let's be loving and compassionate, forgive somebody for being a weirdo because we're all weird in our own way, and how can you feel better in the moment?
Yes. You know what? And I think that that is really the key is, first of all, I like that. You got to forgive them because we all have our little weirdness or nerdiness, and we're all doing the best we can at the moment. Just like you said, I think that is a big takeaway. And also, by forgiving them, it allows you to move on. I mean, you know, you're not carrying that baggage, that poison, in your system.
And you have some freedom to be your authentic self. Like even how we started this interview, I got to talk about iHeartRadio. I don't have a bunch of garbage that I need to have everybody love me on the show, love me, get
right.
involved, blah, blah. I can so be my authentic self and be excited about your excitement, laugh at your funny jokes, and actually talk about it in these precious moments that we have together. I've got that kind of freedom daily.
Right. Right. All right, so let's talk about this. Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is a process, agree?
It definitely is.
Okay, so what does that look like? You know, how does somebody listening right now who's been carrying
yep.
a grudge, who needs to forgive their best friend, their relative, their brother, sister, cousin's pet dog, how do you start that process? What does the thing look like?
Yeah, and how there's stages to forgiveness. It starts off with shock, anger, grief, acceptance, and then finally peace. And it's not a linear process. You don't just, like, go through the 5 steps and everything's wonderful. In the video, this is a good example, the video that went viral, you meet this guy, Gary, who lost his family to a drunk driver. And he's forgiven the guy who's killed his family. Now, this was several years ago, and he's forgiven him, but it doesn't mean here it is June coming up, and Sammy, one of his children that was killed, would be graduating from high school right now, okay? It doesn't
right.
mean that anger doesn't come up or pain doesn't come up because graduation time comes up. The difference is, though, it doesn't have its grip on him because he went through, and the most critical piece that I'm seeing from doing this film is grief. We so avoid grief, and we also avoid anger. Sometimes we get stuck in the angry part. And the best way to start especially if it's something big, or it also applies to little, to something little, is to forgive yourself for not forgiving. That's what I'm saying over and over, because sometimes you're just so mad at your mother-in-law. She keeps telling you how to parent your two-year-old, and you're so angry every time she does that. And allowing yourself to be not forgiving, like forgiving yourself for not forgiving. That's one of the critical pieces that I've seen over and over and over again. Like letting yourself be mad, for goodness sakes.
Yeah. Well, and I think back to what you started talking about in the very beginning of the segment is being your authentic self. You know, our society has become too politically correct and too afraid of being offensive, right?
Yes.
You hear, you know, a lot of passive-aggressive people will, you know, you'll ask them a question, hey, is that okay? And their whole body is saying no, but what do they say? Yeah, I guess that's okay.
Yep.
Instead of saying, you know what, I don't really feel good about that.
Absolutely. And you know what else softens that too? Because as you get more skill at this, because it takes practice and it is a skill. What gets better is when you have something hard that you need to say, you actually ask for permission in a cool way. You can even say something like, you know what, I want to have this conversation and it's a hard one for me. It's a difficult one. Can I be awkward in having this conversation with you? It's going to be awkward for me and I'm really uncomfortable because I really care about you and I'm really upset. Can we talk about this? And it's going to prepare the listener to be open to the possibility of whatever might happen in that conversation, and you don't have to do it frickin' perfect, because that's where we get all weird when we're trying to do it perfect and making sure we're walking on eggshells. It's so hard to walk on eggshells and be authentic, eh?
Right, and it's like what you've been saying, too. These are different skill sets, and these are skill sets that we don't normally have training in.
Absolutely.
You know, working things out with your neighbor is not a skill set that we have training in. Being awkward in the moment is not a skill set that we have training in. Asking somebody to, you know, just that simple phrase, I love it, that simple phrase saying, hey, you know, can I get your permission to do this because I'm not very comfortable? Right now, somebody's having an aha moment because you express that phrase. You just taught something, and they're going, yes, I can use that. I can use that today with my teenage kid, with my husband, my loved one, my sister, whatever, and move this situation forward.
Absolutely. And the neighbor, even though it might in the moment feel like that might be hard to do, when you practice that and get so good at it, then you can do it with your boss. You can do it with your clients, because forgiveness really is a leadership tool. And playing in this realm of being so authentic, even apologizing before, you know, I'm sorry if I say this the wrong way. I'm really committed that we get this project done on time.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. You know what? I just love what you said. Forgiveness is a leadership tool. We're going to end on that note. Sean Duperreault, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing. I love it. Love to have you back.
Oh, thanks for having me. You have a glorious day.
Alrighty. Guys, we're off and running. There's the new mantra for the day. Forgiveness is a leadership tool. And you can find out more about Sean, her video, her upcoming PBS special at projectforgive.com, projectforgive.com. Or you can go to SeanTV.com. That's SeanTV.com. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And then when we come back, we have a little special surprise. We're kind of celebrating a birthday, so to speak. Right after this.
Did you bring the camera phone?
I did.
Do you want to go first?
I've been waiting for this all day.
Okay, this is Bro
and Stacy.
Introducing Chase Quick Deposit. Just photograph the front and back of your check using the Chase Mobile app on your iPhone and hit send.
It went through?
So cool.
This is so cool. You want to try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, who's next?
Make a deposit from anywhere, anytime with your iPhone.
To Mr. and Mrs. Walker, why would they send my parents a check?
Chase what matters.
Hey, guys, we are back. My next guest, Steve Evans, Director of Marketing for Kahala. I believe I have that correct. Steve Evans, like I said, is the Vice President of Marketing for Kahala, one of the world's largest multi-brand quick-service restaurant franchisers, over $1 billion in system-wide sales, oversees all marketing and advertising for several brands, including Blimpie, the sandwich shop, 15 years of experience in marketing field, working on a range of brands, products, with the last 7 years at Tahala. Steve Evans, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
All right, you bet. Now, Tahala, that's an interesting, name. And it seems to mean that, does it mean something? I don't know. It just seems like that was something I had heard before, like something to do with sailing or something. Am I even close?
It's a pretty popular surf site in Hawaii. It was one of the founders of our company's favorite places to go. So obviously when we come up with things we want to name, we usually draw from inspiration of, you know, experiences in our lives. So.
Absolutely. No, I love it. I love it. I knew it had something to do with water. I just couldn't remember what it is. But anyway, so congratulations. Happy birthday to Cliffy. You guys turned 50. So yeah. Tell us, what do you guys have in store for customers for your 50th birthday?
Well, we couldn't be more excited to celebrate 50 years of serving great quality subs to our customers. It's, I think, quite the milestone for any brand to celebrate over half a century of being in business. So to celebrate our anniversary with our customers that made it all possible, this Friday, April 4th, we will be celebrating with 50-cent regular-sized Blimpie Best subs at all of our locations across the country for the first 200 guests at each store. So we definitely encourage people to get there early. We have quite the anticipated turnout. Our Blimpie Best sub is our most popular sub. It's an Italian-style sub with four different meats. So we're really excited to offer this great special for our customers for a thank you for all of their support over the last half century.
I love it. I think this is, you know, first of all, it is a massive milestone. I mean, when you think about a brand that has been around for 50 years, that's incredible. And Blimpie's is one of those iconic brands. It's one thing to have a local, you know, business to be around 50 years, but this has, you know, become a national brand. It's an American icon, and so congratulations to that. And I think what you're doing to the 50-cent subs is I think it's a fantastic idea. I just love it. I think it's great for the consumers. It's a great way to, you know, to go viral with this birthday. So did you come up with this idea, or how did you guys come up with this?
It was a true collaborative effort. We got together. Obviously, we're a franchise model, so it was a lot of input from our franchisees and area developers and our brand team here at Kahala that work on the Blimpie brand. We were looking forward to 2014 last year in some meetings. We knew that we wanted to celebrate such a milestone in as big of a way as possible. But what was most important to us was to do something that would thank our customers, because, I mean, without our loyal customers, we wouldn't be here after 50 years. So it's their, you know, faith in us and their continued patronage of our stores across the country that's really allowed us. So one of our biggest goals with whatever we were going to do to celebrate this was, what can we do for our customers to thank them on that day?
No, I love it. I think that your customers are going to love a 50-cent Blimpie's. I mean, that's a smoking deal. It's a great tasting sandwich, and to get it for 50 cents, that's almost like a free lunch. So everybody will be, you know, everybody will get a chance to celebrate and wish Blimpie's a happy birthday. All right, so let me ask you this. Because so many few companies make it past a few years, what do you attribute to Blimpie subs longevity? Being able to last so long.
All right. Well, to be honest, I think it's just our inability or unwillingness to compromise on our quality. Over the years, obviously, with prices going up and down, you know, everything has been looked at to make businesses more profitable. But one thing we've never been willing to put on the table is lowering the quality of our product. We still slice our subs fresh to order. So it's not pre-sliced meats. They're getting the most premium quality subs and generous portions. All of our stores have the freshest produce and toppings and sauces that you can find. So I really attribute our longevity and our success over the last 50 years to maintaining our standards. And we just, it's one thing we just will not sacrifice on, because it's what people have come to know Blimpie for, a fresh-sliced, premium quality deli sub.
Yes, yes. You know what? And something there that I want to kind of touch bases on. You know, there's always this hype about, you know, how do, you know, you make a company last so long, or how do you become a bestseller or make your story go viral. And it really comes down to just being brilliant at the basics. Blimpies is that. You guys are brilliant at your basics. As you mentioned, you don't compromise on the values. You're there to deliver a good sandwich experience every time. And, you know, you're focused on that customer at that moment, delivering the best that you can. That customer walks away with a good experience. He's going to say, hey, I just had a great sandwich at Blimpies. That's how you make something last for 50 years or 100 years or have something go viral, is you're good at it. You become brilliant.
I thank you for those kind words, and I couldn't agree with you more. So, I mean, there's two key components, and it's not as difficult as you might think. It's premium quality, great quality product, and delivering on customer service. People have a lot of options out there today in the marketplace, and we think that they continue to come back to our brand for 50 years now because we deliver on great customer service and great quality product again and again.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? And I know that some people might be listening saying, oh, well, everybody says that. Yeah, everybody says that, but not everybody delivers on those two simple concepts. I mean, it's not hard. It's very simple, but sometimes it gets messed up. So maybe it is hard. It's a simple concept, but it's hard to do for 50 years. Let me ask you this, because we're short of time. I want to get your opinion on this. What's your thinking? How has Blimpy changed over the last half century to evolve as a brand and that is still staying so relevant?
Well, I think a couple things. We stay true to who we originally are, but we also recognize that the world is changing, and we need to evolve as a brand along with that. And there's a couple different ways that recently we've made some changes, both with the menu. So customers have a lot of choices, as I mentioned. Well, we make sure that when we evolve our menu and roll out new versions of our menu, we keep those core products on that menu that people have kind of grown up loving. So we always keep the basics, but we add new options to stay current with trends. We've introduced pretzel bread subs onto our latest menu that rolled out just this past summer. We also have a whole line of hot subs, as well as introduced a wraps category. So I think it's important that you stay kind of on trend and deliver on those things that people are looking for when they want to try something new, but still make sure that you have the basics and kind of your core menu items that built your brand. And another way we stay relevant and make sure we are kind of on trend and we're able to adapt is we make sure we embrace technology. Obviously, you know, our customers 50 years ago aren't necessarily the same customers we have today. The millennial demographic is a huge, huge focus for us, and we make sure we're doing different things to engage with them. We launched a new Blimpy Run app to give them a fun way to engage with the brand and also have a monthly chance to win subs for a year. We're currently testing online ordering to give our customers another way to order their Blimpy subs and get in and get out real quick when they're crunched for time. So I think those are a couple of the ways that we make sure we constantly evolve the brand so that we can be around for another 50 years.
Yeah, you know what? And again, we see what happens to some iconic brands when they're not evolving. I mean, you look at Kodak. Here's a brand that was around, I think, 100 years, and they've kind of, you know, all but disappeared because they weren't able to evolve with their customers. Steve Evans, we're out of time. I want to say happy birthday to Blimpies again. And, again, it's April 4th. This Friday, you get a 50-cent fee sub if you're one of the first 200 customers at your local store.
Correct. All locations nationwide. Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
You bet. We'll talk to you later. Guys, we're off and running. Great stuff there by Steve Evans about evolving your brand and really staying relevant for whether it's 5 years, 10 years, or 50 years like they have. It's really, like we talked about, it's those, you know, simple core things, being brilliant at the basics that has allowed some of these iconic brands to last forever. And again, April 4th, this Friday, you can get yourself almost a free lunch. It's 50-cent sub at and it's not just a sub, it's a Blimpie sub, which you guys probably know tastes pretty dang good. It's one of my favorite places to eat. Anyway, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Caller Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Well, I'm not sure what it is. I guess that'll be okay.
I'm calling the studio, Matthew.
You're not shooting today.
Just get some rest.
He bought it.
Hi, can I get my CRV brought up, please?
Roderick. Roderick.
Life is packed with things you have to do.
Sometimes you gotta live a little.
Matthew, you poor thing.
You sound awful. How could I resist?
Look, I don't know what to tell you. He's sick. Actors get sick sometimes.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Get going in the all-new CR-V from Honda.
So, you know, you've been playing Logan for about 13 years, approximately,
yeah.
6 movies or so. How, as an actor, do you keep the character consistently fresh?
It really has to come from script, and the source material for this script is from my favorite of the comic book series, the Samurai Story, the Japanese Saga, and that's one I've been wanting to make for 13 years. I actually first read it when I was in the trailer making X-Men 1. Bryan Singer didn't want anyone reading comic books. He was afraid we'd come with a big sort of two-dimensional performance or something. And so people were kind of, it was like contraband, people handing him around. And so I read this and I said, this is a movie. So in a way, my enthusiasm for this was massive. My desire to make a movie that was really central to the character that had been set up in the comic book, for what I saw, that dark, more interior, the berserker rage, all these things that made him unique and flawed and interesting and layered, we're here. So it wasn't so much about being fresh. This was about being just so excited to finally dig my teeth into the character.
Well, I mean, as a film, it's very different than the X-Men movies or even the last Wolverine film. But for you, like, what do you think the crucial differences are? I mean, the main difference.
It starts with the title. I mean, the fact that we call it The Wolverine, as opposed to Wolverine 2 or X-Men something something Wolverine. This is a more intimate interior character study. Yes, it has big action. Yes, it's fun and cool, but you really get to understand who he is. And tonally, I think we're a little darker, and not afraid to let the movie sit for a while, not just be sort of wall-to-wall action, but have a chance to really sort of explore who he is.
And because it was so personal for you, do you have... Do you feel the need to put some added input into, I don't know, the script or just, you know, because
yeah.
You are Wolverine, so
right.
It's got to be kind of precious to you.
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest things was having Jim Mangold, you know, the director, because one thing I know about myself is everybody, I don't care how many times you played a part or how well you know it, having someone who really knows you and knows the character and knows how to get the best out of you there, like Jim does with me, he did not leave me alone. Trust me, there's no like, oh, you do your thing, man. I'll worry about everything else. Mm-hmm. He was on me every day. And I think he got the best performance out of me that I've had playing this part. And that, you know, that's important. And I think I learn new things about him every day. That's why the character's been around for 50 years as a comic book character and why for 13 years he's been around in film. I think he's just one of the more interesting.
And I know it's tough to look ahead, but what do you think is next for Logan? I mean, you're in the next X-Men, I know, but beyond that, are you interested in continuing the character?
Yeah. Right now, I'm having more fun playing him than ever. And I wasn't sure, you know, how I would feel, you know, in doing these two films, but I'm absolutely loving it. And I'm finding the characters and the scripts and the stories interesting. And as long as I feel I have something more to offer, I feel it has to continue to grow and develop. As long as it does that, I'm in. Of course, there's way bigger powers of force here, including the people who will hire me and the fans. So we'll see how they react.
Everybody see the Wolverine on July 26th.
Well, I'm not sure what it is. I guess that'll be okay.
I'm calling the studio, Matthew. You're not shooting today.
Just get some rest.
He bought it.
Hi, can I get my CRV brought up, please?
Roderick. Roderick.
Life is packed with things you have to do.
But sometimes you gotta live a little.
Matthew, you poor thing. You sound awful.
How could I resist?
Look, I don't know what to tell you. He's sick. Actors get sick sometimes.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Get going in the all-new CR-V from Honda.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Caller Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on Geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. Hey, I wanted to talk to you about something kind of creative, out-of-the-box thinking for you guys who want some free advertising. And I'm putting a video together so you can go to my YouTube and watch the video as well. But I'm going to give you a kind of a sneak preview. And that is, you know, every year people spend millions and millions of dollars on advertising in the Yellow Pages. I know some of you guys probably don't even know what the Yellow Pages are, but it's a big book. It used to be the very first search engine was the Yellow Pages. And you'd go there and you'd look up companies and then you would decide whether you're going to, you know, go by their store or whatever. So millions of people still spend money on the Yellow Pages. One of the things that you can do is you can go into the category that your competitors are in, that you're in, check out your competitors' ads, call them, and which numbers are disconnected. Then you can go to the phone company and buy that phone number, and voila, you got free advertising. Think about that. So if you wanted to go into, let's say, into a different city, one of the things that you could start doing is you could pick up the Yellow Pages in that city, start looking for competitors who've gone out of business, now you're buying their phone number, and if you do that with their websites, you can buy their websites and get those websites forwarded to your website, and now you have new web traffic, right? So if you're, let's say, a pizza restaurant, and you get a bunch of these pizza companies that have gone out of business, now all of a sudden people still want that service. They're going to call you to have that pizza delivered. And you can explain, tell them the truth. No, I am not that. I'm not that pizza company. I bought their number and their website. How can I help you? Would you like me to deliver a pizza? Would you like to try our pizza? And it's just that easy. You don't have to be deceptive. Just be honest. But it's kind of an out-of-the-box way of looking at things. Now, you can take that same concept and use it for a business directory. Check it out. Every day, businesses are going out of business. That's just the harsh reality. So the same thing applies. You pick up these old directories. You find out which numbers are disconnected, which websites are disconnected. Buy them. Now they're forwarded to you. You get to capture all that traffic, all that media for almost free. I mean, it is free except for whatever it costs you to register the domain name and maybe buy the phone number. You with me? So it's not a big deal. And again,
it's a little out-of-the-box thinking, but let me tell you, I've done this with a lot of my customers, especially attorneys, and this works like gangbusters. It also works great when you're opening up a new city. You can kind of test the market a little bit and start getting leads from that new city without even opening a door or an office or whatever, right? So you can get a local presence without, you know, virtually for pennies on the dollars. And so anyway, so try that out. It's kind of my sneaky ninja free advertising, free website trick that will help your business. And you can do this in any category with any directory or yellow book or yellow directory or anything like that. So anyway, give that a shot. And if you have any questions, reach out to me, Bert@BertMartinez.com, or you can go to my website, BertMartinez.com, or you can go to the Facebook or Twitter, and anywhere on the interwebs, you'll see me there. So anyway, guys, that's kind of my idea for you. We're going to take another quick commercial break, and then we'll be back.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler, Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on Geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
And we're going to be talking to Mr. Bill Bartman. Bill Bartman is a highly recognized and awarded businessman, and he's got a very interesting story. I want you guys to listen to this. Bill, welcome to the show.
Well, Bert, thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, Bill, I know a lot of our listeners may not have heard your story, so before we get into it, and we're going to be talking about how to get out of credit card debt quickly, but before we get to that, give us a little bit about your background, a little bit about your story.
Well, certainly, and I guess we could start with the old standard rags to riches, but everybody's heard those stories so many times, they're almost like chopped liver anymore. So we don't call mine rags to riches, more like rats to riches. We grew up in a neighborhood where there were more rats per capita than there were people. But from there, fortunately, even though I was a high school dropout, spent 5.5 years in high school, an alcoholic by the time I was 17, I'm essentially deaf and wear a hearing aid to hear about half of what goes on around about me, and grew up on welfare and poverty and left home when I was 14, I managed to finally get my boat righted, as they would call it, and honestly, Bert, it happened because I met the woman of my life, the lady I met when I was 14 and she was 11. We dated for 10 years, and we've been married now for 36, and I give her all the credit in the world for kicking my rump, so to speak, back to the system. I got a GED. With my GED, I managed to get into college on probation, graduated on probation 4 years later, got into law school on probation, flunked out, got back in, finally graduated on probation, and with that, where Kathy and I have, over the course of our life, we've been blessed and fortunate that we've been able to have some pretty significant business success. In 1986, we went broke. I live in Oklahoma, and we were in the oil and gas business, and the price of oil went from $40 a barrel down to $14, and we went flat, bankrupt, broke, and from there we saw an opportunity, the same opportunity that's going on right now. We saw the economy being in the tank. We saw massive numbers of people being unemployed and banks failing, and so we started buying bad debt. We started buying charged-off credit cards for literally a nickel on the dollar, and with that, over the next 12 years, we created a billion-dollar company. Kathy and I became the 25th wealthiest people in America, members of the Forbes 400, and fortunately, we have won a whole list of business awards, you know, none of which will buy you a cup of coffee anywhere, but they're real pretty when they hang on the wall.
Well, you know, it's good to be recognized by your peers. I think it does say a little bit, but you're right. When it comes down to it, it doesn't buy a cup of coffee. So tell us, Bill, you went from literally from rats to riches, as you like to say. You've been married to Kathy for 36 years?
36, yeah. Which means she had to get a Purple Heart or something.
That's right. Well, you know, I think it's kind of cool that you give her all the credit. That is an amazing thing, how women can affect us.
Oh, absolutely, Bert. You know, and it's so understated. I mean, you know, the old adage of behind every successful man, there's a woman. Well, that is so much baloney. Kathy has never been behind me. She's never been in front of me. She's always been alongside of me. And people who have great relationships, those are the ones who more often than not are the ones who are great successes in life. So isn't there a lesson there? You know, get a relationship, keep a relationship, work a relationship, and then maybe the rest of your life will fall in place.
Well, absolutely. You know, it's very difficult to have success outside if you're not having success inside the home.
Oh, amen. Absolutely.
All right, well, let's get to it. Tell us about how to get out of credit card debt quickly.
Well, here is the quickest way possible, and it kind of rubs against the norm, and I don't want people to think I'm preaching some kind of financial anarchy or something when I tell them that, but remember now, the business that we created was buying charged-off credit cards, and we bought 4.5 million individual accounts, so I have some background here. What I'm suggesting, for people who are so far underwater that they can't see out, and, you know, that has a different definition for different people, but if you look at your own finances and say, at the job I have right now, at the way things are going, I am so far in. It doesn't matter how you got there. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. But if that's where you're at, you have to look at some pretty extraordinary situations to get out of the hole you're in. And one of the things you can do is, and here it comes, quit paying your credit card bills. Now, when you quit paying your credit card bills, it will hurt your credit rating. Oh, boy, there it is, almost an immediate thing. But the truth of the matter is, Bert, if somebody's that far upside down, they already have already hurt their own credit rating. And so one more little ding on it isn't probably going to make a big difference to them. Now, conversely, if your credit is good, you'd never want to do this. But if your credit's already been shot, if you quit paying your credit card bills, here's what happens. And you'll get some phone calls. You'll get collectors calling you. But if you just keep saying no, after 180 days, the credit card company, the bank, has to charge off the debt. That's a rule. That's a law, actually. That's a GAAP accounting rule. And the bank will charge off the debt and then sells those loans, those credit card debts, for as low as a nickel on the dollar to people like me. And when we buy them for a nickel on the dollar, we call up the same customer and we're prepared to settle for, you know, 15 cents on the dollar. So a person who is, say, $10,000 in debt on their credit card right now and can't pay the 10 grand because they just don't have it, they might be able to settle with somebody for, say, $1,500. And the problem is the bank won't let them settle with the bank for $1,500. So the one thing they can do is nothing. Don't pay your bills. And if you don't pay your bills, eventually they will be sold off to someone else who will settle with you for pennies on the dollar.
Well, that's a great strategy. It's kind of like reverse leverage.
It is exactly that. You know, it's kind of the one step short of bankruptcy. You know, when you file bankruptcy because you're so far in you can't get back out, you know you're going to hurt your credit, but you also know you're going to effectuate a solution. You know, you're going to make a whole bunch of that junk go away. Well, this is a half step. Now, it's certainly right in line with going bankrupt because it's heading down that path, but it may be the one thing that keeps you from filing bankruptcy. And it would be better to have one or two creditors messing up your credit score as wiping out all of them.
Right. Typically, bankruptcy, and I know the bankruptcy law has changed and maybe you don't know the answer, but typically bankruptcy tends to stay on your credit for, what is it now, 7 or 10 years?
It is as long as 10 years that it will continue to show up or haunt you, as they say. And yes, I'm familiar with that. In 1986, we filed bankruptcy. So I know again from experience that is the last straw, last resort, and I don't encourage people to do it unless they just absolutely can't take care of their family, can't take care of their other obligations. There is a higher sense of order here, and that's why the bankruptcy rules were created. You know, not for to let people run up bills and just say, oh, the heck with it, I'll just walk away from it. No, it's for good, honest, serious, legitimate people who find themselves in a place they never would have imagined.
Sure. And you know, the thing that you just hit on there that people don't realize is that When you start believing that it'll never happen to you, that's when it happens to you.
Oh, and right now, Bert, it's happening to people who have never, ever imagined it can happen to them. See, in the old days, a few years ago, we used to think that people with credit card problems and the people who would think about bankruptcy, well, those are, you know, we would kind of put them in that, well, they must be lazy or they must not have gotten a good education or they probably didn't work very hard. And we kind of put them all in a little category, rightly or wrongly. That's kind of the way we do things. But this time around, in this great recession we're in right now, there are people who did it by the rules. They went to school, they studied hard, they got good grades, they went and got a job, they showed up for work every single day of their life, they went and bought a house with a white picket fence, they married the girl next door, they followed every single rule to follow the American dream, and it turned out that maybe some of that wasn't as true as they told us. And now these are people who have never failed before, have never had difficulties before, and now they're unemployed and not able to pay their bills.
You know, something that you just brought up, I think that this generation is one of those generations that hasn't been tested. This economy is their first test.
It is indeed, and I feel so bad for the people going through what they're going through right now. Now, a guy like me, I'm 61 years old, and I have failed and succeeded and failed and succeeded and failed and succeeded, and I have screwed up so many times it's almost pathetic. I'm good at failure. I'm good at screwing up. I'm good at getting knocked down and figuring out how to get back up because I've done it a lot. Now, people who have never had it happen to them, it is the most traumatic thing they may experience in their entire lifetime. And quite frankly, some of them may not know how to deal with it.
Well, it sounds like, you know, what you're saying is failure is a good way to succeed.
It is the only way to succeed. And here's a challenge I give everybody on this call. The Forbes 400 is a list that's published every October by Forbes magazine, so you can go online and get it or wherever you might choose to read it. And read the stories of the people who are on the Forbes 400 list. And except for a few people who inherited some money, and there's usually a handful of them on there, the ones who are self-made, every one of them failed at least once. Some of them failed a half a dozen times. Some of them have filed bankruptcy three or four times in their life. And that's what it almost takes, failure to succeed.
Well, you know, Walt Disney, I believe, filed bankruptcy four
Indeed.
Or five times.
Indeed.
And on top of that, his best friend, which is the famous Art Linkletter, you know, gave up on him, wouldn't lend him the $1,000 he needed to buy what is now Walt Disney in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, the stories are, you know, I mean, they're by the thousands. So, you know, when I started, I'm a student of this industry because I try to share what it is I've learned along the way. The very reason you and I are on this call today is hoping that maybe somebody will hear something that might have some value in their life. Well, I began looking at all of the reasons people succeed and the reasons people fail, and I found an awful lot of correlation between having failed and learning a lesson and then going to a much higher success than you ever would have been able to go to but for the failure.
Absolutely. Bill Bartman, thank you very much. This is Bert Martinez. Thank you.
And Bert, you're very welcome. Have a great day.
Did you bring the camera phone?
I did.
Do you want to go first?
I've been waiting for this all day.
Okay, this is Fro.
And Stacy.
Introducing Chase Quick Deposit. Just photograph the front and back of your check using the Chase mobile app on your iPhone and hit send.
It went through?
So cool.
This is so cool.
You want to try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, it was nice.
Make a deposit from anywhere, anytime with your iPhone.
To Mr. and Mrs. Walker, why would they send my parents a check?
Chase what matters.
Well, I'm not sure what it is. I guess I'll be okay.
Mm. I'm calling the studio, Matthew. You're not shooting today.
Just get some rest.
He bought it.
Hi, can I get my CRV brought up, please?
Roderick. Roderick.
Life is packed with things you have to do.
But sometimes you gotta live a little.
Matthew, you poor thing. You sound awful.
How could I resist?
Look, I don't know what to tell you. He's sick. Actors get sick sometimes.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Get going in the all-new CR-V from Honda.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Hey, guys. We are back. My next guest, Dr. Hellman. She is the chair of politics department at Occidental College in Los Angeles. She specializes in the presidency systems of power, meaning race, class, gender, sexuality, and sexual violence. Her research has been featured in all the top journals, and she is a commentator on Fox News, MSNBC, Fox Business News, CNBC, RT America, and Al Jazeera English channel. And the reason I wanted her to come on the show is I saw this TED Talk that she did, which I thought was just spot on, fantastic. I mean, it was just one of those brilliant TED videos that TED has become famous about, and it's called The Sexy Lie. Dr. Caroline Hellman, welcome to Money for Lunch.
It's great to be on. Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, so why don't you tell our audience, what is The Sexy Lie?
So the sexy lie, in a nutshell, is the idea that is, you know, sold to young women that being sexy is actually empowering. And I argue that it's a lie in two ways. One is that if your goal in life is to be a sex object, you know, that objects are acted upon and subjects act. So even if you're the most valuable sex object you can be, you're always in a secondary position. You exist for others. That's the essence of your existence. But then I take it a step further and say, look, there's now 15 years of research showing that girls and women who view themselves as sexy or sex objects, and that's their goal, have far greater rates of eating disorders, body hate and shame, hatred, habitual body monitoring. They are more likely to be depressed. So this lie that we've, you know, basically been sold causes us great personal distress.
Right. You know what? And it's interesting because it's not just sold to women, but it's also sold to male culture as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, it's compulsory, right, that men, boys grow into men who engage in heterosexual male gazing. And the pressure to do that is constant. And so for both girls and boys born into this system where girls are supposed to be sex objects and boys are supposed to be the consumers. And nobody wins in this, right? It doesn't make men feel good to dehumanize women, and it doesn't make women feel good to be sex objects.
Right. All right, so you mentioned a couple of things that some of the impacts of believing this lie. One of them is shame and eating disorders. What other impacts what are the impacts of believing this lie that you've seen?
Well, beyond the you know, the depression and the eating disorders that so many women, American women, suffer from, and I should point out that 2/3 of women have disordered eating in the United States as a result of growing up in this culture, we also have lower political efficacy, which is the belief that we can make a change in politics. We have lower cognitive functioning. It stifles our leadership ambitions. It also causes us to engage in nasty competition with other women because we're essentially fighting for our own self-worth in this system, because if our body is our value and another woman or girl is getting attention for her body, then we're supposed to be natural competitors. So it actually influences just about every waking moment of our lives.
Yeah, you know what, because this sexy lie has really permeated our society, because even women will introduce another female as, oh, she's so pretty, or she's so sexy, or she, you know, they start off by introducing her by her physical traits versus, you know, any other way, you know, instead of maybe talking about her other accomplishments or the fact that, you know, she's, I don't know, an attorney or a politician or whatever other accomplishments, you know, author, whatever, they start off by just, you know, introducing her looks first.
No, that's a great observation. It doesn't matter for girls and women. It doesn't matter what else you do in this life. Your primary value will be your body. and women uphold this system as much as men do. Of course, we're all born into it well before we're conscious of being conscious, right, before we can actually reflect upon the system, because really girls now start thinking about their bodies around age 4. But you're absolutely right that women are primarily valued for their bodies and the way they look, regardless of anything else that they do. And men, of course, have the pressure of being valued in a much more meritorious way for what they do, what their profession is, their prestige, their status. Not 100% meritorious, but certainly more meritorious than, you know, the body you were born into.
Right. Well, okay, so let's talk about this. I definitely want your input on this, because I would love to spend a whole hour with you, because I would like to know why so many young women think that being a sex object is an empowering position, because it just, as you said, you know, when you're an object, you're acted upon. So where does, you know, how did this come about?
Well, it came about because marketers are now targeting children, really toddlers. We didn't used to allow marketers into our homes, and this is 100 years ago, and now we do, but it's not just in our homes. Children are spending an average of about 8 hours a day connected, which means that marketers and advertisers can reach them very easily. So not only can they reach them easily to convey these values, and these values are driven by money, right? They're driven by a need to have a lot of people dissatisfied with their bodies and fill that gap, that need, with products. So marketers have to also cut through the clutter now, though, and so they're being more salacious, more violent than ever before, and young girls and young boys are getting the message that these are the values they should adopt, and they get it primarily from media culture.
Yeah, and you know what, it's an extraordinary thing, because there is this massive awareness that so many women, or so many young women, teenage girls or even preteen girls, are having these issues with their bodies and trying to make sense of this message that they're getting, but yet there is no training. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, you as a teenager or even a preteen, you're so ill-equipped for this onslaught of emotions and messages that are you know, what do you call it, targeted towards you, that it seems like really there should be a class on this, some kind of, I don't know what you'd call it, but it seems like, you know, unless we step up and start helping these girls as well as the boys make sense of these messages, there's no cure in sight, is there?
There really isn't a cure, because you're really talking about, you know, patriarchy plus capitalism plus social media, and these are all entrenched, you know, systems that aren't going away anytime soon. But the name for what you're looking for, and you're right that we don't have much of it, is media literacy. And some schools, high schools, junior high schools, do offer media literacy courses. The Representation Project, which is affiliated with the Misrepresentation movie, and now the new movie for boys and men, The Mask We Live In, they offer kits in media literacy, you know, supplies and resources. But it's really about, I think, unfortunately, it's not so much about changing the system, because that's not happening anytime soon. It's about surviving it. It's about putting on your daily armor. And, yes, we need to do it very early on, because it's affecting our children.
Yeah, you know what, and I love that. I love what you just said. It's about putting on your armor and really early on defining what you're, you know, who you are and how, you know, and what, I guess, what is your armor? It's not that you're, quote, a pretty young girl. That's just one aspect of who you are. It's maybe giving these young ladies a choice of really creating their own message and their own identity, right?
Exactly. So giving them alternative yardsticks for evaluating their worth and saying, look, this yardstick, it's actually stacked against you. It's going to make you unhappy. It's going to make you hate your body. It's going to make you compete with other women. Here are some other ways you can value yourself. For example, education or physical accomplishments, sports. So finding things that are more meritorious in terms of evaluating oneself.
I love it. I love it. Dr. Hellman, TED Talk, and thank you so much for stopping by. I'd love to bring you back another time.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All righty. Guys, we're off and running. Great stuff there by Dr. Caroline Hellman. And, again, you can go to moneyforlunch.com and check out that video. It's a wake-up call to what we as a society are doing to ourselves, especially to our young ladies. And we're going to take a quick commercial break. Speaking of young ladies, my next guest is Nell Merlino, and she's a return guest, and she's also one of my favorite people to talk to because she's done so much for young ladies and their dads and I guess of their families. But we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll
be back. Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Caller Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Hey, guys. We are back. My next guest, Nell Merlino. Nell Merlino is the founder and president and CEO of Count Me In for Women's Economic Independence, the leading national non-for-profit provider of resources for women to grow their micro businesses into million-dollar enterprises. She's a leading global movement to empower women entrepreneurs to grow their businesses to $1 million and beyond by providing tools, resources, and a support community of their peers. This movement will not only add millions of jobs and billions of dollars of economic activity, but take women to new levels of independence, empowering them to act as economic leaders. Throughout her career, Nell Merlino has been inspiring millions of people to take action. She is the creative force behind Take Our Daughters to Work Day, which I love, which moved more than 71 million Americans to participate in a day dedicated to giving girls the opportunity to dream bigger about their future. Nell Merlino, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Hi there. How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
Well, I don't know if you were able to catch any part of our
I did. I absolutely did.
So what did you think? Kind of interesting stuff, isn't it?
It's absolutely fascinating, and I think the thing that's most important for anyone who is listening to that is what we all need to be judged by is what our capabilities are. What are we doing? Not what we look like. What are we doing?
Right.
What are we doing? You know what? It's where confidence comes from. Confidence comes from being capable, you know, and if you're in school, it's, you know, you're capable of doing your math problems or, you know, your singing or your whatever, but it's what are you good at? What are you working on as opposed to what do you look like? What you look like just has so little to do with who you are in the world, and we have just totally turned it on its head, and it's really, I mean, one of the reasons we did Take Our Daughters to Work Day was so girls would understand that there was more to their cuteness, that they're more than being cute.
Yes.
It's a lifelong struggle.
Well, you know what, and I like that. Yeah, it's there's more to life than just being cute, and ultimately your cuteness will only take you so far. I mean, even models who make a living for their looks have an expiration date. Very few of them, like is it Tyra Banks and,
yeah,
you know, Cindy Crawford, and there's another one that's done well. But, I mean, you know, it's such a small percentage because all of their value is tied up in how they look, and when those looks are gone, they don't know what to do, and they don't know how
to similar
to expand
that net. Similar
to
professional athletes, actually.
Yeah,
similar to professional
absolutely.
Athletes where they are valued for their physicality.
Yes.
And there's always more to us than our physicality. I mean, we have minds and emotions and all kinds of things. So I thought it was an actually excellent conversation. I'm not as pessimistic as she is. I mean, I don't know if she's pessimistic. She sounds pessimistic because I just met I don't remember Debbie's last name, but the woman who started Goldieblocks, you know, the company that's making all the engineering toys for girls. I'm so encouraged by some of the things I'm seeing in terms of the recognition on the part of younger women entrepreneurs about how to combat this. And it's by making things that allow girls to make things and understand engineering as opposed to just trying to figure out how to be the next princess. So I think there's progress out there. Always, never enough for me, but great progress, I think.
Well, you know what, and I think that we'll eventually reach that pinnacle when we have our first female president. I think that will speak volumes and allow people to know that the playing field is starting to equalize.
Well, I think having a woman in charge of the Federal Reserve is a big step.
Yes,
and what
good
she
point.
In charge
yeah.
of $16 trillion or whatever she's in charge of or managing or whatever that is. So I think that's big, and I think that'll help a lot of women think about money differently. And I've also been in a very difficult situation, very impressed with the new CEO of General Motors. I think particularly today she has really stood up and is taking responsibility for something that clearly the CEO needs to, but she's doing it in a way that I think is instructive for all other CEOs when they get in trouble. So
you know what?
She went and met with families who were impacted by what happened 13, 14 years
ago.
You just
went muffled.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. There you are. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. No, she met with families.
She met with families. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think her dialogue with them, and her dialogue around this whole, you know, terrible situation at General Motors, I think speaks to some of the values that women bring to these positions of leadership.
Yes. Well, okay, so let's talk about this. Let's you know, to me this is such a fascinating subject, and I think that, you know, one of the things I'm so grateful for about having daughters is that it allows me to understand what goes on with our girls and our mothers and our wives and all, you know, and so, you know, women are such an important part of our lives, but yet, you know, they're still struggling to be seen as equals.
Yep. Yes, it is
right,
amazing.
So, it is. All right, so let's talk about this. How, you know, what was the inspiration? How did you come up with Take Your Daughter or Your Daughters to Work Day?
I had a conversation with Gloria Steinem at the Ms. Foundation, and she was talking about, you know, what was not happening with girls as they sort of entered adolescence, even after 20 years of the women's movement. And I was at my father's retirement dinner from public service in New Jersey, and it really hit me like a ton of bricks sitting there that one of the things that's so important is for girls to see what goes on in the world and for them to start thinking early on about what role they're going to play. And I realized how many people I had met through my parents, both of my parents' working lives. And I thought, wouldn't it be incredible if more girls actually knew more about what their parents did or what grown-ups did so that they would then be able to make better choices about what they were going to do. So it came out of my father's retirement dinner. I left that dinner, wrote 5 pages that is Take Our Daughters to Work Day.
You know, it's amazing. I love that story. You know, you were inspired. You took immediate action. And
mm-hmm.
And boom! I mean,
it paid off.
Right? But it, you know, and it paid off in such a big way because we're really talking about a national movement, a national event that has lasted over what?
Over 20 years. Yep. 1993 was the first year.
That's amazing.
Long time.
All right, so let's talk about this because we're unfortunately short on time, and I always love speaking with you. But let's talk about what you have going. You now help women entrepreneurs through your organization
that I mentioned
earlier in the segment. Yeah, Count Me In. Thank you. And tell us a little bit about Count Me In for Women's Economic Independence.
Well, we have some extraordinary stuff coming up in April. We are going to be in Arlington, Virginia. We are doing a special program with women entrepreneurs who are veterans or from military families, and we've been doing this program. This will be the third year. We're doing it with Capital One, and it's an opportunity for women in military families to grow their companies, and they have particular challenges. In some cases, if you're a military spouse, you're traveling around the world. How do you maintain a business when you move every year? But also just the impact of, say, maybe being out, in military service for 10 years and coming back and starting a business. What are the things you need to know? And
hey, now,
are there other women who've done it?
Yes.
There you go. Okay, because all of a sudden you went muffly again. Sorry. Okay.
That is
now
so weird.
Back. Clears the bell.
I'm actually in a phone booth. Wow. maybe that's the problem. But, in a phone booth.
You're having this event. Is this the first event for veterans or?
No, this is our third one. This is our third one.
Third one.
We've been having very, very good luck with it, and it's April 15th. And then we are going to do a leadership institute where we're going to focus on the whole concept of design and how to help entrepreneurs understand design as it relates to managing change. So we have two big things coming up in Arlington, Virginia. One the 14th, the other starts on the 15th. And they are both opportunities for women to come who have businesses who want to figure out how to grow them. You know, we've been around for a while, and some of the women who've done very well, you were talking earlier in another segment about, when people get stuck, when Walt Disney got stuck and couldn't move forward. You know, you can be a multimillion-dollar business and get stuck. So this design workshop that we're doing is going to be specifically helping those who have been moving along a growth path who have, I think, there is so much change going on with technology, the climate, you name it, and managing a business through that requires a level of sort of innovation and creativity that we really want to share with the women
in our community. And
obviously, we're extending that invitation to other women who want to come. There's still, I think, 10 slots in the Leadership Institute, so if people want to sign up for that on the website, and they're about, I would say, the same number of slots for the veterans program. So we have opportunities just regularly, but these particularly are very hands-on experience where you get to deal with experts as well as your peers to find out how they're, overcoming the challenges that they have and what successes they're having so that you can start to plot your own.
I love it. I love it. Nell, we're out of time, but I always enjoy you having you on the show. The organization is called countmein.org. Check them out if you want to get involved. Check out the leadership. Check out their event there in Virginia on April 15th. Nell, Merlino, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You bet. Bye-bye. Guys, we're off and done. I mean, that's it. That's all there is. Great show. Just a wonderful segment there with Nell Merlino, just, taking some inspirational step, and she changed the way that some of us go to work. Remember, you were created.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.